you'll be like, he preaching it again. It'll be better. It'll be better, because just grasping what it means to abide in Christ is the key to the victorious life, I am convinced. And I want to grasp it. I want to understand it. So I'm going to preach a couple of what you might call just one-off topical messages. I'm not opposed to that. And then we'll roll into the Mark New Testament, and we'll get that on video for you, on audio, and I'll take it through the notes. And so that's the plan. That's the plan for Sunday night. Then Sunday morning, I will, after Matthew, we'll do 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, probably Jude. I haven't done those books yet. I wanted to do 1st John. That's clear in my heart. I think that's what the Lord wants us to do after Matthew. And I think it is going to be good for Sunday morning. We'll do 1st John, and then I'm just going to follow with 2nd John, 3rd John, since I haven't done those. And then on Sunday night, after we do the Mark New Testament, we'll go into Hebrews. And so I'll nearly be done with the entire New Testament, except for Mark and Luke. I've done Mark from a cursory perspective, but not a verse-by-verse. And I just don't know how soon I'm going to jump into Mark or Luke, since I've been on Matthew for, it seems like, a long time. And so, now you guys are laughing, but it's been good. It's been good, I trust. So Galatians chapter 6, let's look at this passage. And let's just begin with verse 11. Let's read to the end of the chapter. Title of the message tonight, Our Only Glory, the Christ, the Cross of Christ, the Cross of Christ. Verse 11, you see, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit writing this, you see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. So it seems unusual that Paul would write the letter himself. And so this is where some get that the thorn in the flesh, and it was some difficulty with his flesh, it was some pain in his flesh, that it may have been his eyes. We don't know, because he wrote such a large letter so he could see the words. But he says, you see how large a letter I've written unto you with mine own hand. He was that passionate that he sat down and wrote it with his own hand and didn't have somebody that he would dictate what the very words of God would be in these inspired letters. He wrote other letters that weren't inspired of the Lord. They may have had good content. They may have been helpful. But these 27 books are the inspired word of God, the complete, perfect word of God. How do I know that? Because God tells me that there won't be a generation where we won't have his word. And so, you know, I'm not worried that there's a 28th book out there. These are 27. If God wanted us to have 28, we would have had them. There's not going to be a mysterious book show up any day, because then we would have had a generation where we wouldn't have had the word of God. So rest in truth. Don't you love that? I'm not looking for any more truth. We have it here. So this is Paul. He writes this with his hand, and it seems to be unique, so he doesn't mention that elsewhere. Verse 12. And as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, be with your spirit. Amen. Now let's just look at this. I'll get to the main part of it, but let's just walk through these verses. And so here is what he says in verse 12. He says, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh. People, that includes us. I'm telling you, now Paul says this. Let's go back to Galatians 1, because he's really kind of summing up his letter. Galatians 1, I just want you to remind you of this. Look at verse 8. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. So there are two paths that people were going down, and I think the primary path is they were connecting circumcision in particular, a work in particular, to your salvation. That's a false gospel, and Paul said, let them be accursed. We studied that some time ago. Let them be damned. Anyone that preaches a false gospel, they are damning souls to hell. That's why Jesus said the false teachers would have the greater damnation. And so these, if you will, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh. And so it's like this. I'm telling you, if I mentioned your name, I've watched it before. And I can always tell if someone's paying attention, I mention their name, their neck jerks. And so you'll pay attention if I mention your name, right? So here I was, Lee was like this. Pastor nailed it this morning. And I was like, what did I nail? He's probably right. I got to hear this. You know, after all this stuff about this morning. And I whoa horsey, right? We've got to be careful that we're not trying to make a show in the flesh. So here's what was happening. They were telling these Christians, oh, you need to be circumcised. You want to be a Christian? You know, that would just be a false gospel. You want to be a Christian, you have to be circumcised. But there were some groups of people that said, you want to be a good Christian? You have to follow all these rules. You have to do this, you have to do that. And I'm telling you this, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. I'm not talking about a commandmentless gospel. But I'm telling you this, it's about loving the Lord Jesus Christ, and that will result in obedience. So how do you know if you truly love Christ? How are you doing on obeying? That's how you'll answer that question. And so they were just trying to make a show. I mean, it's sort of like, you remember Dr. Seuss and what were those, what were they called? The star-bellied Sneetches and the non-star-bellied Sneetches. Nobody remembers that Dr. Seuss thing. And so all it was that's what they were doing. They were going to divide these groups. Here's the circumcised, here's the uncircumcised. And Paul says, that has nothing to do with it. They were making a show in the flesh. He says this, and as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. You understand this? This would tell me in verse 12 that these people may have been Christians and were trying to force other Christians to be circumcised in this context because of this. You understand this? 2,000 years ago, if you were a Jewish convert, would your family be excited? How many of you ever known of a Hindu convert? How many of you ever known of a Hindu convert in your lifetime? I will tell you, Hindu converts, they will be ostracized from their family. I know of some Greek Orthodox converts, right? And I will tell you this, you understand that. So you'll understand better than some of us, right? How many of you have been ostracized because of your faith in Christ? Okay, I agree. I think I know your circumstance. I know your circumstance. And yes, you as well, right? And so here, you've got to understand this. Is it fun to be ostracized? Is it fun to be persecuted in some way? And it's not necessarily physical, but it's emotional. And it's, you try to figure out how is this going to affect my family, all those things, right? And I'll tell you this, no matter what, you want to have a relationship with your family, you want to love your family, and sometimes you feel like that's impossible, right? And so what'll creep up is you'll say, well, how do I just bridge the gap, right? So you get these Jewish converts, and they're like, I got it. I don't want to get my Jewish family upset, so I'll be like, Mom, Dad, they're all getting circumcised. Oh, they are. Yeah, they are. You know, it's sort of like this. Where does that happen today? I've seen tons of people convert to Roman Catholicism, and they know nothing about Roman Catholicism, but if that's what it takes to get that girl, they'll go through the motions, and they'll get baptized, and they'll join the church. See, the devil loves that. And Paul fought against that. And so he said, you know what? They're just trying to avoid persecution because they're just trying to satisfy. I will tell you this. Be kind, be loving, be gentle, but stay clear on what the gospel is. And so Paul was saying, they love to make a show in the flesh. But then he says this, verse 13, for neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. And so I want you to go back, just go back to Galatians chapter 5, verse 3. Galatians chapter 5, verse 3, look at this. He says, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is debtor to do the whole law. In that context, for every man that's circumcised in order for justification. You follow me? So if you have to be circumcised to be justified, then you have to keep the whole law to be justified, not just that one little piece, right? Can they do that? They can't. And what Paul's saying is, they're putting this burden on you, and they can't do what they're requiring. And so here's what happens. The people that make a fair show in the flesh, they are the same people that can never meet their own standards. And so I want you to understand this. It is, and I know this, I've been listening to some false teachers, and I don't recommend listening to false teachers, but sometimes I do to try to understand what people are watching. Again, I'll repeat this message from this morning. Stop watching YouTube videos about Bible stuff. I'm just telling you, open your Bible. Study your Bible. And I'm all of a sudden like, I feel overwhelmed. Hey, is this person any good? Probably not. And so I don't know. I mean, I've never told anybody, you should listen to me. No, because I have to listen to me first, and I'll be like, man, that guy, he's a little bit off. And so, you know, I mean, but it's this. You need to study your Bible. You need to go home and say, is that what the Bible says? Study it. Understand the Bible. Love the Bible. And so it's they cannot even keep their own standards, right? And so be careful. That's what we do. We put burdens on people that weren't meant to be put on people that we ourselves don't keep. I'll just talk to the men. Every man ought to have compassion with the young man, old man, anything in between, struggling with lust. God's given you victory. You should praise God for that. Don't bring a hammer. Love them. It's the scourge of the 21st century. Everybody gets super uncomfortable when this is the quietest I've ever heard Hope Baptist Church. You're like, if I breathe, he'll think I'm guilty. It's real. And so, you know, I mean, it is, it's evil. It's wrong. But it's real. And so we need to be a place that we can help young men. And the way young men, old men are going to be helped is we must submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. I think accountability is good. I think not making provision for the flesh is good. I think software intervention is good. But it ultimately comes down to love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what we have to do is we have to make sure, are we putting burdens on people? You know, I thought about it, and it's what's really going to influence me for these next two messages. I thought about, what do we do with a message like this morning? I'm just so convinced, and I know this. You're so convinced when you think you're right, or you think the Bible's right. I'm just convinced of it. The outlet of a message like this morning, let's go reach the world for Jesus Christ. How do you reach the world for Jesus Christ? Here's what happens in churches all over the place. Hey, that was a good message, preacher. Good message. Thank you for that message. And then we all leave and we have no clue what to do. Then we come back the next time and say, yeah, I don't even lost people in my life, so I guess, you know, I don't know how to do that, so good message, preacher, good message. I'll see you Wednesday. Hear a message Wednesday and say, whoo, I'm convicted. I'm good message, preacher, good message, preacher. I'll see you Sunday. Come on Sunday, good message, preacher. I'll see you Wednesday. And we're in this cycle. And the world's dying and going to hell. I will tell you, the outlet that the Bible would tell us to do is find people that will let you teach them. Find people that will let you in their lives. And I believe witnessing is the gateway to be able to sit down with people and teach them. You know, I told somebody the other day, I said, I'm a spoiled pastor. You know what? There's no haves and have-nots in our church. I want you to tell you this. I'm thrilled when you're just trying. You try, the Lord loves it. You ask enough people for a Bible study, somebody's going to say yes. And then you'll panic. And then you'll find out how good it is, how sweet it is, how you can teach the Bible. I want you to understand this. When you hear a message from the Word of God, what we're going to focus on here in just a few minutes, what do we do when we glory in the cross? I want to tell you, it's just not so we sit back and go, man, that's good stuff. Oh, boy. I'm thinking about the cross. When we really get our eyes focused on the cross, it'll get our lives in gear, and we will live for the reason the cross came in the first place, so that we can reach people for the glory of God, and we can reach people that are dying and going to hell. You see, the outlet is this. God wants you to reach people for Jesus Christ. That's why I'm going to preach one more time. I'm going to preach one more time in the next week or two. I don't know if I'm doing the abiding in Christ first, or why I'm even going through the Mark New Testament on Sunday night. So I'll surprise you next Sunday afternoon. And so I, but I want you to understand this. What do we do? What do we do with this? What do we do with this? Because I want to tell you this. This is it. Our only glory should be in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to take you through some verses. And I know this is the smallest font I've ever used. How bad is this font? You guys have been telling me. Am I pushing it too far? What about the back row there? Can you see it? Give me line 3, 4. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, David. All right. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23, Paul says this. He says, but we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised when people think you're nuts. We are in the United States of America. Can you imagine going up to somebody that's never heard of the Bible and saying, hey, let me tell you how it all started. This snake came up. Snake started talking to this woman. Kidding me? God just had made him just a few days earlier. But the snake was very subtle. Unbelievably convincing. I mean, you've never met a snake like this before. And the snake convinced the woman to eat the fruit. Everything's fallen apart since then. Make sense? You're crazy. You see, I don't know if I'd start with Genesis chapter 1. I think I'd start with who is God. I want to make sure they understand who is God, and we're going to study that. I probably start with, I know, the Gospel of John. and so you know, that snake, you know, you imagine this? And then when we tell people this, my wife, I don't know if I told you this publicly, right? So after last Sunday morning's message, was she in here? She's right there. I'll be very kind now. And so I hope she's in the nursery. But we have good conversations. So she told me this afternoon, she said, good message, honey. She said, I'm the only one that has said that. I said, that's right, because you'll tell me when it's not. And you guys won't, but yeah, tell me that. That's terrible, man, that's terrible. But so we were talking about last Sunday morning's message, and I love her perspective, and so I'm probably going to misrepresent it. You know, that's what's going to happen after she says, you just didn't tell me where. So this is the way I received it, okay? This is the way I received it. She said, I can't believe. So understand, it's a little hyperbole probably is what she's going to claim. She goes, I can't believe. You actually suggested that instead of animal sacrifice, that God could have chosen human sacrifice. She goes, I just can't believe it. And I think I had a moment by the Holy Spirit. I said, honey, I said, if you don't believe in human sacrifice, you can't go to heaven. You understand that? I'm not suggesting that the animals were good, perfect. It was the perfect decision. But you understand that. You believe in human sacrifice in order to have eternal life. That's nuts. Until you share with them the truth of God's word. You understand? And so we must teach people. Nobody really gets it. You've got to sit down with them and teach them. But it's the glory of the cross, right? It's unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. Foolishness. That's our day and age. Foolish. Don't be discouraged by that. Understand that. And say, let me teach you some foolishness. And so 1 Corinthians 2:2, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I will tell you this, if we have something on our lips, it ought to be Jesus Christ and him crucified. Why was he crucified? Why do we glory in the cross? I've got 8 things for you tonight that I want you, and there could be 30 things. This would be just a great session if we could, just to say, what else should we focus on with the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? So I have some thoughts. And then Philippians 3, this is one of my favorite passages in all the Word of God. Paul, after he gives his pedigree, he gives all the things that are impressive from a human perspective. He says, but what things were gained to me, just from a human personal perspective, those I counted loss for Christ. It doesn't matter what your degree is. It doesn't matter what your job is. It doesn't matter how much you make. It doesn't matter if you're important. All that matters is the Lord Jesus Christ. Forget all those things. That won't matter in eternity. Do you know Christ? And do you glory in his cross? And do you live for him? And that's really all that matters. Is are we glorying in the cross? Are we living with a reflection of the cross in front of us? So he says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless. And I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. You've got to understand this. This is a saved man, that he may win Christ. What does it mean to win Christ? I want to know Christ. I want Christ. I want Christ more. It's not enough, Jaden, that I'm born again. I want the Lord Jesus Christ to be, just abide in him. You understand that? That's a little bit of that abide language, that he may win Christ. It's not talking about his salvations, that he may win Christ, that he may be with Christ and succeed in why Christ saved him, right? And so he says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. We're going to see that at the end. You saw that in Galatians. It says, we are crucified into the world and the world unto us. He says, be made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. The resurrection of the dead, you understand this, when we're raised from the dead, that's when my redemption is complete. That's when I get my perfect body. That's when it's done. Finished. Understand that. Paul was saying this, boy, you know what I'd like to do? He said, I haven't attained, but my goal is, I want to be like it would be when I finally get my new body. Everything's perfect. But I'll tell you this, counting everything else but loss, but Christ. I want to show you eight things. The first one, these are eight things that I had. You can have others. And so look if you will, verse 14 of Galatians 6. He says, but God forbid that I should glory, or that I should boast, that I should rejoice, that I should have just any other focus. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Paul said this, the one thing I want to glory in is not circumcision. I will tell you this, I don't want to glory in being a Baptist. I don't want to glory in being a pastor. I don't want to glory in being a grandpa. Now that is, it's really tough for me. I love being a grandpa. I'm not going to get off on Elliot here. But I'm not gone this week. If some of you thought I was gone this week, I drive down next Sunday after afternoon service and deliver Elia all of her furniture, and then Joshua and Rachel have anything in that U-Haul, they can have it too. But I want to tell you this. I want to glory in the cross. And there is joy. There is joy in being a grandpa. There's no doubt about it, Papa. But I'll tell you this, when I think of the cross, I believe the first thing I want to think about, I'm just telling you this. This is me telling you, I've just sat around, and this is the joy of being able to preach, being able to teach. So when you teach people, you know what you can do? You can say this. You can just look at them and say, what do you glory in? When you think of the cross of Jesus Christ, just tell me what excites you about that. And you know, if they go, I've never thought about it before, say, well, now it's time to think. Tell me, what do you think about that? What do you think about the cross of Jesus Christ? Why is it so beautiful? Why is it so wonderful? Why is it so good? And so I want you to make it personal. If you just take my eight things, it's not going to be personal. So you know what I want to do? These things I've wanted to drill in my mind, that on Monday morning when I wake up, you know the one thing I'll remember? Jesus went to the cross because of great love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know the cross? When I think of the cross, it's the greatest demonstration of love. It's not smoochy, smooch, smooch, and I know. It's good, right? It's just good. Are you happy you're married right now? You are. It's good. Just want to lay one on it right now, but you can't, right? And you know, God, he loves happy marriages, right? But I'll tell you this, that's not the love that is real love. It's love. You know, there's what, 9 words in Greek? But I'll tell you what, it's the sacrificial giving love that Christ did for both of you, that will make it worth it all one day when you're dead. It's love. When we glory in the cross, you know why we glory in the cross? That God loved me, that he loved you, that he loved a wretch like you, that he saved you. If you understand the world is clueless. What do they say, Dustin? 20% of the U.S. population goes to church once a month, at least once a month now. Less than 20%. And the 80% have an attitude. But I will tell you this, when we meet them out on the streets, they know they're ignorant. I will tell you this. I was talking to some young people. You know what I love about young people? They know they've been duped. They know they've been duped. They know they've been told a lie. Now, I'm telling you this. I still don't get them. So there's some things that still puzzle me. But they will let me teach them. And I've got to be super patient with them. But I will tell you this, they know they haven't been told what is right. They're in the second generation that's never been told the truth. If you have one thing to tell people, I will tell you this, tell them about the great love of God. Don't you worry that they'll misunderstand the love of God. Nobody even ponders it anymore. They think God's mean. They think God's an ogre. They think God's just there to zap you. I want to tell you this, when you think of the cross, I want you to think of the great love of God. I want you to think of the great love of God. Not even the great love of Christ, for God so loved the world. It's God that sent His Son. Jesus made that clear. He said, I didn't come. He said, I came because my Father wanted me to. Now, they were in full agreement. It wasn't some weird thing that people try to accuse God of. But they do understand this. It was God's decision. And the Son said, absolutely, Father. I know they're one. But I want you to tell you the great love of God. The second thing, I just want you to think of the perfect, just plan of God. When I think of the cross, what I love is it represents justice. And so what I love to ask everybody that just makes fun of what we believe, I'll be like, what are your thoughts? Are you actually think we got here by chance? Those 60,000 miles of blood vessels in your body? Random? Random? Your brain? Random? Your eyes? Random? Nobody can really deal with that, you know, and I, because I get loud too, but it's, I'll tell you this, it's foolishness. And I'll say, tell me this, because most people believe in God, even the atheists believe in God, they just think it's cool to be an atheist. And so really when you get down to an atheist, you find out they're really not. And so tell them this, well, what do you think is necessary for eternal life? Most people have an opinion. Well, you know, that's up to God. Well, what do you think He's going to do? You know, just keep asking them questions, right? So they'll, you know, you guys need to teach and preach sometimes. This is terrible. But when you're teaching and preaching sometimes, you'll be like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, and I'm the one that said it. You realize it sounds stupid. You know, like, can I rewind? And so people, when they say things, you watch the light bulb coming in their head, and they're like, that's dumb. And you let them figure that out. And you go, you really believe that? No, not really. Not really. Well, what else do you kind of maybe don't believe? And so I want you to know this. What I love about the cross, it's justice. Not whimsical. It's that the only way I could go to heaven is somebody had to take the complete eternal damnation that I deserved. There's no other example in any literature that says that's being done. This is the only plan that says somebody actually came to earth, actually claimed to be God, actually had witnesses that they rose from the dead, actually did die on the cross, actually did suffer on the cross, and His claim, it was for you. Glory in the cross. I want to tell you, it's going to be more difficult for me to sin tonight, because when you begin to just grasp the love of God, and you begin to grasp the justice of God, and just know this, I don't have to go to hell. I'm not going to hell. I've been to a lot of funerals, it seems like, more lately. And it is so terrifying to be at a funeral where you are, by all evidence, by the fruits, right? People go, you're not supposed to judge. I say, I'm just a fruit inspector. By their fruits you shall know them. And I tell them, I'll say, it's terrifying. Is it not disturbing to go to a funeral? You look at that carcass, and I think about it. What are they experiencing now? And it's just begun. And eternal damnation will be worse. Understand, hell is a temporary holding compartment. The great white throne judgment, that's when they'll be thrown into the lake of fire. That's darkness. Help me. Told you this before. I don't think hell is a place of darkness. I can't find that. Search the scriptures. The lake of fire is a place of darkness. It gets worse. Because David says, even in hell, His presence is there. What is God? God is light. I'm not saying it's like, you know, these fluorescents that we've got. And so I love bright, don't you? we just got bright all over. I feel bad for Ellen that it affects her, right? So it's like, what do we go to? We're either going to be Hope Baptist Church, or we're the brightest lights you've ever had, Baptist Church, right? So I feel bad for you, Ellen. But it is understand this. It only gets worse. And hell is horrendous. But I don't think hell even is measured out for their evil. I think Hitler's being punished the same as everyone else there. There's scripture doesn't speak that. But in eternal damnation, they will be judged for their works. They're not yet being judged for their works. Temporary holding place. Terrible. Eternal damnation. When you understand this, and you understand this, you're not going to hell. Why aren't we screaming from the top of the mountains and saying there's a just way for you to avoid judgment one day? That's glorying in the cross. Glorying in the cross. Third thing I want you to see is the purity and holiness of Christ. I want to think about this. Christ was everything I couldn't be. Pure, holy, sinless. You understand he didn't have a sinful thought? Didn't have a sinful reaction? Didn't have any sinful inclination? It wasn't like when the Bible says that, that Christ was tempted, that doesn't mean he's like, almost, you almost got me there, devil. I mean, no, it wasn't close. Remember, Jesus couldn't sin. Because if he could, he still could. Aren't you glad he can't? Think about that. Because if he could, then he still could. I'm not secure then, am I? He couldn't, can't, didn't, won't, never will. I don't know if those all match. But I want you to know this. Christ was what you couldn't be. He fulfilled the law. I will tell you, it ought to get to us. When we see the cross, I'm telling you, I still do. And I don't want to be limited to this. I love the three crosses when I haven't been down I-75 in a while. And so, our cross is on the way down to where you guys could visit. I need to pay attention. But I've been going at night, that's why. I've been going at night, you know, just looking for red and blue, not the white crosses on the side, you know. So, it is, I just like the colors, red and blue, just looking out for them, right? And so, I love to see the crosses. I want you guys, you know what, the next time with your family and you see some crosses on the side of the road, you go, hey guys, what do you remember from Pastor Steve's message? Crickets, right? And so then you guys will have to make it up and say, what do you think of when you think of the cross of Jesus? Go around your family and say, Lee, what do you think of when you think of the cross of Christ? And then you go around, you know, it's what do you think of the cross of Christ, right? And just have a great discussion with your family. Because it's glorious. It's wonderful. And we ought to be thankful for it and not be offended because of it, right? You know this, you've been in circumstances, you've mentioned the cross. Not a good thing. I mean, I've had some people, you know, just bite my head off. What I need to do is I need to examine my delivery. Maybe it was bad delivery. But I also need to understand this. It's offensive. But I better not be offended the way people respond. Don't. You keep on. It's the purity and holiness of Christ. Fourth thing is the commitment of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll look at that a little bit next Sunday morning. And so when we see the commitment of the Lord Jesus Christ, I so love this. So you understand this. Jesus, if there was ever anything hard for God, it was the cross. I don't mean to disrespect him because there's nothing hard for God. His commitment was unwavering. What I love, his commitment was to the Father. His commitment was to do the will of the Father. And I'll tell you this, his commitment, there was going to be nothing else that deterred him from doing the will of the Father. When I see the cross, I see my great Savior and his great commitment and his great steadfast. He never took his eyes off the Father. He always kept his eyes on what they had eternally agreed to. Commitment. When I see the cross, I see great commitment. There's no commitment in the history of mankind that's ever matched the commitment of Jesus Christ. What he asks for me is not a big deal. What he asks for you is not a big deal. And so we ought to be delighted. What he asks for us is nothing compared to what he endured for us. I see great commitment. Number five, I see the payment of our ransom and debt. It's the payment. And so I know this. You can say it's the perfect just plan, but it's very specific. And I tell you, you've heard that you've sat under my preaching long enough. I want you to understand this. It wasn't a generic cross. Damien Ross, right? He had to take the eternal damnation as though you were the only one he was dying for. See, he's the infinite God. He can do that. We can't grasp that, right? We can't grasp that. For a long time in my life, the reason I preach this, because I've always imagined that the punishment of Christ was kind of like a, I don't know why I always relate everything to sports. I was dominated with it as a kid. And so it's I always imagined it like this big old baseball and God lining up there going, hitting him with a big old baseball that had all our sins in it. That does not represent what happened on the cross. He paid the ransom for Clay. He paid the ransom for Deanna. He paid the ransom for Lee. He paid the ransom for Kevin Marino. And Kevin Marino wanted nothing to do. He loved you. Kevin Marino, the guy that was always concerned about money, he paid your ransom. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? I'm just, you know, I rejoice in it. I'm glorying in the cross for you. He paid the ransom for Jaden. You know what the ransom is? It's this. Hey, here's what you have to pay. You want eternal life? You got to pay this. You know what you have to pay? Eternal damnation. And when does eternal damnation end, Jaden? Never. Okay, so you want eternal life. You first have to go through eternal damnation. Oh, that never happens. Christ paid your debt so that you could have eternal life. You should never get over that. And I know this. It is harder to be a young man today than when I was a young man. I'm still a young man, and I know you agree with that. But it's this. It's more difficult. Technology, the devil, all the media is after you just to make you demented and perverted and just deceived, right? But if you get your focus on the cross of Christ and what he did for you, it will help you daily. That you would just over and over, we glory in the cross, we focus on the cross, and you're going to see what the result is in just a second. He paid the debt you could never have, because what the debt was eternal damnation, and you can never do that. I love the cross because that's what it is. I'd love to ask people, who died for you? Nobody. I'll say that you have to die for you. Eternally. Number six, reconciliation with God was made possible. Maybe you think these are, I think they're different. And so maybe, I just love this. You know this, it's not just that I get to go to heaven. You see, that's not what salvation's about. That's not what the cross was about. The cross wasn't just to get me out of hell. That's not what the cross was about. Oh, I rejoice that I don't have to be eternally damned. But the cross was so that I can have fellowship with God. That I can be an heir of the Lord Jesus Christ. That he's my Abba Father. I'll tell you this. I don't know what I thought about Joshua, Rachel, and Abby, but man, Elia is like, mwah. I don't know. Joshua, Rachel, and Abby, man, they were, you know. And I mean, because, you know, you kind of remember the last few years, right? It's like this. Yeah, you punk. See what it's like to pay your own bills. And no, I mean, I that's what Deb said. I never said that. And so, it's, but when God sees me, he says, man, hang on. Steve's gone. You want something to stop in the Hall household? Oh, Elias FaceTime. We're all like, hey, how you doing? We've been waiting on you to call. I mean, we know the ring. Sometimes it's random. Thank you, Elliot, for stealing a second with us. Jesse, I want you to understand this, and I'm not demeaning God. Just I want you to understand this. When you reconcile with God, God loves hearing from you. Maybe I'm representing it goofy. I don't mean to. I love hearing from Elliot. You know what? In fact, I like this. So I know you'll get a little bit more Elliot when I come back from Tampa as well. But I love not showing up first on the phone call. You know why? I love this. She'll go, papa, 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 and I'll be like, hey, and she'll be like, ah, there we go. I'll go, Mimi can go away. But if Mimi's not there, she goes, Mimi, 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 but I, any, papa, papa, papa. I'm reconciled with God. You see, salvation on the cross isn't just getting out of heaven. It's that I get to walk with God. talk with God? You ever think about what Adam and Eve walked with Him in the cool of the day? Bill, we're going to get to do that. And we can do that through prayer, but you see, when I see the cross, we've got to make sure of this. That's the way I'm reconciled with God. Just two more. I don't want to carry on too long. It's the way of eternal life. It's the only way I'm going to have eternal life. It's the only way I'm going to be able to spend eternity with the Father. It's through the cross. It's through His blood that we talked about a week ago. See, I want you just to drive down the road. So I'm not going to cover all the things, but I want you to glory in the cross. I want you to be thinking the Lord, hey, I want us to start talking about it. Come up to me and say, man, you missed it. It's okay. I'm sure I've missed something that's a top 10. Probably 9 and 10. Maybe it's number 2, number 3. I think the love of God is number 1. But I love hearing from you. You encourage me. I want you to ponder. What do I think the cross is so wonderful, so glorious, so good? And so when people make fun of it, I will not back off because I'll be like, you just don't know me. Do you know what the cross is all about? And you can begin to tell them what the cross is all about. Tell me who did that for you. Do you want eternal life? It's only by the way of the cross. If you don't receive this gift, you'll never be made right with God. And it only came through the punishment of Jesus. And then 8, it's death to the world. And that's going to take me to my last point, but I did this because it's death to the world. Now I want to tell you this. This is the troubling part of the message. So it's this. Why? Why should we glory in the cross? Because the world is dead to us and we are dead to the world. I want to take you to some passages. And I know this. I've got to hustle here. I just want to take you to these passages. This is now the smallest font ever in the history of Hope Baptist Church. And so it is Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I am crucified with Christ. We did ponder that back in Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. What does that mean? I am dead to the world. The world is dead to me. Now this is the part that gets really tough with this message. Because me included, we are alive and well in the world, aren't we? The key, I'm convinced, is if you glory in the cross, and I'm telling you, exercise it in the morning. Meditate on it in the afternoon. The glory of the cross. The glory of the cross. I don't know how we can be excited about the world. The glory of the cross. Just look at this, Colossians 3. This is just says it better than I can. It's just so good, the Bible's better. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. Why? Why? Because you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Sometimes that feels like, oh, I don't know what that's talking about. Am I dead to the world? The answer too often is no. So this is where the message gets tough. Are we living the reality of glorying and focusing on the cross because we focused on the wrong things? I think you should come to church, but if you focus on church attendance, that ain't going to get it. If you focus on tithing, that ain't going to get it. That's a good thing. If you focus on witnessing, that ain't going to get it. Now I'm going to say a little, if you focus on teaching, that ain't going to get it. Don't know what else to do, go ahead and teach. But I will tell you this. When you are focused on Christ and the glory of His cross, everything else falls into place, and it matters. You know why you'd rather be no other place than church? What else is there? I don't know. You're dead to the world, and the world's dead to you. Why do you think so many churches are dropping Sunday night? And I love the independence of churches. You know, I do. You know why they're dropping Sunday night? Because everybody'd rather do something else on Sunday night than gather and hear the Word of God. Now, you could take it ridiculous. We're going to have service 7 days a week because we're going to prove that we have nothing else to do. No, I don't think we've got to go reach the world. But I'm telling you, that's why people are dropping services. I love the Word. I'm not dead to the world. Are you dead to the world? This is a challenge for me. This is the hard part of the message. Look at 1 John 2. Quickly. I'm almost done. I'm going to finish really fast. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Well, that's terrifying. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Is that word abide? 1 John 5, 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Be encouraged by this. You can overcome the world. Oh, Christian, you can overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Do you believe that you can overcome the world? Do you believe it's faith in Christ, focused on Christ, glorying in his cross? He says this, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And you focus on him. Do you understand this? Paul was concerned about the issue of circumcision because it would be a distraction away from focus on the cross and on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? That's the issue. Yes, we've got things we must do, but do not let that be the focus of your life. And so I just want to show you, and I'm going to finish with 3 points, and just hang in there. Something's wrong with that clock. And so just verse 16. And as many as walk according to this rule. So let me give you verse 15. I just want to show you verse 15. He says, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. That's what it's about. It's about being a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, that you just glory in the cross, just simply glory in the cross, as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. You want peace and mercy? I want peace and mercy. I need peace and mercy. On those that glory on the cross, that are focused on the cross, you want peace and mercy? Focus on Christ. Focus on the cross. Now again, what we said is don't make expectations of God. Just know this, he will bless. The older you get, I'm just telling you, every old person in here, well, old people, that's a shame. I'm about older than most people in this room. It's this. I'm living for the next generation. And I'm counting on God when I'm dead to keep blessing. Because he's told me that in his word. I've got less time to live than I've got to, than I've lived already. Right? They just call. I got to wear one of those stupid things going to bed now, whatever they're called. CPAP. They told me I had a little test done, and they said, you have extreme, what do they say? You have, what I had? Severe sleep apnea. They said, your oxygen went down to 50%. I said, that's when my wife had the pillow over me and was trying to kill me. And so I'm going to die. Talk about it all the time. I want to talk about it all the time. I want to be focused on Christ. I'm not going to be here. I tell you this, but though, so if I'm not going to be here that much longer, Clay, what should I focus on? I need to focus on Christ, not anything else. And I trust that the Lord will give me peace and mercy. I want you to see this. Don't anyone let trouble you anymore. Don't let anyone distract you anymore. Don't let me distract you. Look at this. Look at this, verse 17. From henceforth let no man trouble me. Don't you let any man trouble you. Don't you let any man just waste your time. There's a job to do. There's a Savior to glorify. There's a cross to glory in. Did we live this past week and glory in the cross? Did we just triumph in the cross? Did we declare the cross? I will tell you, I've read about it. I read about these, what I'll call crazy people. All they did was love Jesus, serve him, tell everybody about him, and they didn't care what people thought. And they loved them, and God saved people. Because you know all they did? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You know the old song? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the noontime. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus when the sun goes down. Be a nut to Christ. Don't let anybody trouble you. And he says, be encouraged. Look at this. He says, verse 17, from henceforth let no man trouble you. Trouble me, but I say you. For I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. You know what I love? I don't want the marks of Paul, the marks of brothers and sisters that have just suffered for the cause of Christ to be in vain. I think they would moan today to see what we've become. They died in vain, they feel like. They know they haven't, because the Lord Jesus has showed them that all that they did was not in vain. What about us? He says this. He says, from henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Be encouraged by those who have suffered for this very cause. You want to avoid suffering, don't talk about Jesus. Just be quiet. Don't say anything. I think you'll be a miserable Christian. He says this, brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. It's good to finish that way, isn't it? You know what we need? We need the unmerited favor of God to do this. And so seek his face. Glory in the cross. Is there anything better? Is there anything better? I hope it would be just a delight for me. Don't make it, we're trying to be spiritual. I just, ladies, I'd love you. I'd love you to just have the question. How do you glory in the cross? Men, how do you glory in the cross? What makes you tick? What motivates you each week? How do you think of the Lord Jesus Christ? How do you just meditate on him? How does Jesus help you just day by day, moment by moment? Glory in the cross. It's the only thing that's worthwhile. Glory in some sports team, you'll be last year's winner before you know it. Glory in Ohio State? Yeah, amen. Ryan Day. Fire him, right? Is that what you think? Yeah. And Jim Harbaugh is going to leave Michigan, right? See, can't put your faith in anybody. Definitely not Michigan, just so we know. I've read that in the Bible. It's in one of the Apocrypha books. But, just kidding. I forgot, Eric, you're a Michigan fan, aren't you? Yeah, I knew I didn't like you. And I don't think God has an issue with you enjoying a little basketball here, a little football there. But glory in the cross. Glory in the cross. If you don't think your life's kind of just not where it needs to be, glory in the cross. Let's pray. Father.